Well, at the age of 34, she was 19 and a half weeks pregnant, and she was having a little stomach issue. And that's when she went to the doctor, her OBGYN, and they thought maybe it could be gallbladder. They sent her to the hospital, and they did some tests, and the tech noticed a shadow on her liver. And so they contacted her OBGYN and was like, "Hey, do you think this person's an alcoholic or a drug user?" And she said, "Absolutely not. I've known her for 10 years," which was true. And so it just all snowballed from there. And so they sent her up, and they knew that day that it was cancer. We just didn't know how bad it was. So she had to go through having a liver. Went in and did like a biopsy of the liver, and the results came back that it was stage 4 colorectal cancer. And they, of course, had metastasized to the liver. And because it metastasized to the liver and did not start in the colon, other than treatments, there really wasn't anything they could do. They could not do a surgical if they had found out earlier. But the thing is, her symptoms, every symptom she had, was all because she was pregnant, you know? So there wasn't a sign. They did do testing. They asked about family history, and of course, there was no family history. They did genetic testing through the oncologist office. There was nothing there. And when I asked the oncologist, I said, "So why?" And she goes, "She's just one of the unlucky ones. We don't know." But there she was, 19 and a half weeks pregnant, and she had two different doctors ask her about aborting the baby. And she said, "Absolutely not." And their goal was to treat her. But she wasn't willing to give up that pregnancy. So she had that mother's love, and she sacrificed her life for her baby. And so he went through 5 rounds of chemo, while in utero, and they brought him at 32 and a half weeks. So he was a preemie. After, like, I think it was like 6 or 8 weeks of her having the baby, because she'd have a C-section, then they started the rougher stuff, the rougher chemo. And it wasn't easy, but through it all, she was so tough, and she fought. But at the end, her child's fine. He'll be 8 tomorrow, but here he, you know, he's a miracle baby in itself. But it was hard to watch my daughter go through something and her ask why. Why is this happening to me? And she has nine, you know, she has not, at that time, she had a 10-month-old and a 9-year-old when she passed. She has twin boys, so they're 9 years old. And now they're 16. And, you know, they're doing well, considering. But I tell you, without the Lord in my life, I would not have survived this. And losing a child is the hardest thing.
That's, you said an awful lot in 4 minutes and 22 seconds, Linda. You said an awful lot and really very powerful, all of that. So let me ask a few questions related to that. So, you know, it's easy to say, how did you feel? But what were your thoughts? Let's just start with the diagnosis when she was first diagnosed.
Well, considering it was in 2016, you know, we've come a long way with cancer research. So my thoughts is, and I believe in the power of prayer. And at that time, I thought, you know, she's going to be okay. She's going to make it. She's a fighter. She's going to do it for her boys. And she did fight. And the one thing that I don't know if it really was the cancer, and the only reason I'm going to say that is because she went through a procedure called targeted radiation. They wanted to kill the liver, but instead of killing the liver, they damaged the liver, which because the whole purpose of killing the liver so it would regenerate, because that's one of the organs that your body will do. It can regenerate that liver if it's the right thing, but in her case, it damaged it. So in her case, she wound up going having swelling and having fluid, have to have fluid removed week after week. And that started in July of 2016, and by September 20th of 2016, she passed after 13 months and 6 days. And that's from diagnosis to death.
Mm-hmm. And how did you feel? I keep using that word feel, but I don't know what else to say, or your thoughts about when she said she wanted to keep the pregnancy. And
I was okay, because we were always taught, that's a life. From the time of conception, that's a life. That is something God has created. And so there was no doubt that she was going to keep the baby. And I knew the decision when both doctors asked her. I knew her decision was going to be to keep that baby.
Even as Cindy became more ill, you still felt it was the right thing to do all along?
All along, I did. I mean, he is such a joy. Caden is his name, and he is such a joy to us. And the thing is, she touched a lot of people's lives. She was that kind of person. And her legacy lives on through that baby, who's almost 8, through her boys. And they're continuing on. And yeah, they miss their mama. And he'll tell you, my mama died. But he didn't have that opportunity to have his mama hold him and him remember that. Because he was little. He was 10 months old. So he does not remember that part of her, even though we try to keep her alive for him.
So that's difficult, right?
That is difficult. I mean, because at first, you got a 10-month-old, and he used to call me Mama. And I finally took him to the cemetery, because I thought the only way he would know is to see. And so he would see her picture on the cemetery stone, and I would say, there's your mama. And I would always tell him, your mama loved you so much. Because she did. She sacrificed. She sacrificed for him. And I never want him to feel, I've never told him that story. Because I don't want him to feel guilty to think, my mama died because she wanted me. Because he might question that someday. And at that point, we might tell him. But we're not going to talk to him about it for that right now.
Mm-hmm. 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 So what would you say, was there a most difficult time through all this? Or would you even put it that way? How would you put it?
It was hard. The day she died, when you bring a baby in the world, you hear them take that first breath. And the day she died, I heard her take her last. And one of the things that was the hardest decision that day, when we knew she was passing, was the fact we couldn't decide, do we bring her boys, do we not bring her boys? She did not pass until after her boys came and saw her. And she, even though she was not able verbally to talk to any of us, until those boys came and told her goodbye, she didn't take her last breath. Mm-hmm. So she waited for her babies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously you've expressed this in various ways, that your faith is a big part, is a big part of this whole situation, and your belief and your, the strength, I guess, resolve and all that, right?
Yes. One of the things, too, is We had a women's retreat in September earlier, like maybe it was into August, but 2 weeks probably prior to her passing. And she spoke at that women's retreat. As sick as she was, she spoke. And I cannot describe to you what occurred at that cabin with all those women. There was not a dry eye as she spoke. And she had a song that she played, when we call it Cindy's song, "Thy Will Be Done," because she had accepted the fact. I think she knew. And she even talked the last time she was in the hospital prior to this one day. She would say, "Mama, do you see those lightning bugs?" And I'm like, I thought it was just the drug she was on, because she was on, you know, as a cancer patient would be. I would say, "I don't see them." And I thought, oh, she's just hallucinating, you know. She said, so then right before, like a week prior to her passing, she said, "Mama," and my sister was there too, and she said, "I know who it was in my lightning bugs." We're like, "Who?" And she said, "Aunt Jean, I don't want you to be upset, but one was Uncle Robert," which was my sister's husband, who passed unexpectedly after knee surgery. Mm-hmm. "And then the other was a lady she worked with who also died with cancer, and her name was Peggy." Mm-hmm. And she said the other one was Peggy. It was her seeing angels. We didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And her very last time, the very last weekend she was at home before she passed, she had a good friend to come up. Her name's Sarah. And Sarah came and was with her. And one of the last things she did was watch The Christmas Story, because that was one of her favorites to watch. And she would watch it over and over and over again. But that weekend she watched The Christmas Story for the very last time.
Hmm. Yeah. When you say that, this is really, I'm surprised. Is that the BB gun?
Yes.
I thought it was.
Yes, it is the one where the Ralphie, you're going to shoot your eye out. Yeah, yes, that was her favorite movie, and none of us could stand that movie but her. She loved that movie. But she knew her time was coming in order for her to watch that for the last time.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, just talking about, there's many things that you've said, but, you know, just talking mostly about the retreat, the women's retreat. So, gosh, I'm just thinking as you're saying that, I mean, how much of an impact that, how many women were there?
You know, I don't know, but there was quite a few. I would say there was probably 35 to 40 of us there at least, all in that room. And she had been sick the whole weekend. So she would rest a lot. Mm-hmm. We would just let her rest. So, but the other thing is after she passed in February, my son-in-law accepted the Lord. And they would come to church. And one of the things is she never got baptized, because I felt like that was a decision I would let my own children make. And she said, she had told her husband she wanted to get baptized, and he said, "I'll get baptized with you." And she had told me, "I don't want him to be baptized for me. I want him to be baptized for himself." One February, after her passing, he accepted the Lord. Mm-hmm. And in July, him and his two boys were all baptized. Mm-hmm. So if she touched one person's life, and if that was the reason, then to me, no matter the sickness, it was all worth it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she touched more than one,
the Lord used her during that time. But without the Lord, I don't know how people would survive. This was the first time losing a child. And the loss of a child is the hardest thing I've ever been through. Mm-hmm. And all those first were very difficult. first Christmases, first birthday, first anniversary, first, you know, all the first. Mm-hmm. And things have, you know, she's been gone 7 years, which is so hard to believe. I wouldn't want her back sick, but I'd like to have her just one more time. And she, I mean, she's my angel in heaven, and I see a butterfly, and it reminds me of her because she was a butterfly.
What do you have, I guess, advice for someone going through something like this?
I think they have to have their faith in the Lord. And did I ever go through the time where I was angry with the Lord? Yep. Because I couldn't understand, you know, some people were healed, some people were not healed. You know, why was my daughter not healed? But I can't imagine, and I have to say that, I can't imagine if I did not have the Lord in my life, I would have given up. I wouldn't have had, you know, and of course, yes, I had her boys. And that was part of my reason too. Because that they had to have that support. My son-in-law and I are today, he calls me his favorite mother-in-law. And I can tease him enough to say, until you trade me in. But we had such a connection. I had such a connection with my grandsons.
Remember if I've asked previously, but are you married?
Yes, yes, yes.
And how's your husband?
He's good. He's
and
good.
Dealt with this.
Yeah, we've held each other. I mean, you know, we have. Sometimes I've heard of marriages that go the opposite direction. In our case, we held each other. We've cried, but being together, having Christ in the middle of our relationship, our marriage, so important. Our church family here is wonderful. They have supported us. They have prayed for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's important. You need to have your people. You know, you've got to have that support group. I have been blessed. That's how I see it. I have been blessed to have people around me, my family, my friends, my coworkers, my church.